the year, God impressed three things on us as elders. We really felt he showed us a road that we were to focus on. And I used the road because that was what we did. He talked to us about the importance of us being united as a church family. And we understood what it meant to be part of the family. And then he said it's really important how we declare that and the declarations we make within that relationship. So unless we know what declarations we're making, then what is it? So we put five statements out. In the last 2 weeks, we've asked those of the church to think and pray about those. And it's been really good. Going back to James' thing about being present, people are looking at them and saying, so, okay, what does this mean? And I really appreciated in different ways hearing how you've been talking about them. But you see, we're more than words on a page. And as you know, I can talk. And what one statement says can't always convey heart. So this morning we want to share heart. For those who aren't here, we want them to listen to the heart that comes across. So together Sunday, this morning I want to talk to you about the importance of unity with one another. To see that everyone is choosing to stand on the same spot, choosing to look in the same direction. And so this morning we want to look at the power of unity and what God can do with a group of people that choose to be in that same place, that choose to say yes to him, yes to each other, and a desire to move forward and grow. Let's start by talking about one another. A lot of this will be repeat over the last few years. I don't have that many sermons, actually. Brené Brown did an incredible talk, a TED talk, The Power of Vulnerability. And she is a psychologist, a sociologist. She's got lots of clever things. Listen to the talk. It's about 20 minutes long. She wasn't a Christian at the time, but I understand she's since become a believer. And as I'm an elder in the church and encouraging you to listen to that talk, I will tell you there is a swear word, but it's okay. She talked about the power of vulnerability, and she wants to research sticky subjects and kind of organize them and sort them out and break them down. So she researched connectivity. She researched why people need each other, and she scientifically discovered that people are neurobiologically hardwired for connection. A non-Christian found what actually Christians know intuitively by experiencing God and reading his word. To put it simply, she found out that we need people. Simon and Garfunkel got it wrong when they said, I am a rock. We're not meant to be that. God is the rock. I am an island. We're not meant to be that. It's a great song, but it ain't right. For so many days, I put for XX days, that meant I should have looked at how many days God said things were good. For a number of days, God created things and he looked upon his creation and said, it's good. But when he made man, he stepped back and it was the first thing he said, it is not good. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Isn't it interesting that the first thing God said was not good was man being alone? Now, before you go on and say, well, this is about marriage, isn't it? The Bible also says that God sets the lonely in families. We all need each other. We all need each other. Not to get off track, but it does not mean that we cannot have times alone. It doesn't mean that we cannot have times where we just need to pull back, that we just need some space. I love, although I've not done it for a while, going on a retreat. I love getting up in the morning early. It's getting earlier. 4 o'clock now I seem to wake up, and I'm just awake. But I love that space and time to be with my own thoughts. It's just good. But we were not meant to dwell there. We were not meant to dwell there. So let's look at unity. Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like the precious oil poured over the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It's like the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. The word unity is yachad. I listened to it twice. In this little Bible app, you can play it. Yachad. You need to have some phlegm in the back of your throat. Say it after me. Yachad. Now just wipe the back of your neck. This is what I love. It means all together alike. All together alike. Unity. We're alike. We're alike. Now, let's look at the power of unity. Genesis 11, 6. The Lord said, this is the Tower of Babel. Okay? That's the context. The people of Babel have sought to build a tower that will get them up to the heavens. And they get higher and higher. And God comes down to see if what he's heard is true. And he says this. If there's one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Now, this word one is different. It's not yachad. It's something else. I could have written it down. But it has a dual meaning. Firstly, it means one. It means one. But secondly, it means acting as one. It's a form of unity, but it's not God's unity, because it also means first. And you see, what they were talking about is, we want to be first. And they wanted to bathe in their ability and their skill to get somewhere, to proclaim who they were. We will build on high. We will build bigger. And as one, they did it. It's unity, but not as we know it, Jim. Actually, I made that joke. Somebody says, I don't know what you mean, Star Trek. It's not the unity God's called us to. But look at the power. When we're in unity, just think about it. I'm like this again. Just think about it. When we're in God's unity, there is nothing we cannot do. Nothing is impossible for them. If they're in an inferior unity and God says nothing is impossible for them, what can we do when we're in God's unity? So do we all have to be the same then? We all have to speak the same, dress the same. Have you seen how Ben dresses? Really? Is that what unity is about? Do you know, I love my kids. And there's no doubt that my kids are mine. They're from the same family. Some of them, they look alike, yeah? Sometimes people come and go, I know they're brother and sister. I know they're your kids. And it's incredible because my children are the same, but they're different. I don't get it. It's an enigma wrapped up inside a riddle. They're different, but they're the same. I find it to go on. They're different, but they're the same. They're different, but they're the same. And that's unity. It's not that we all like robots, behave the same way, think exactly the same way on everything. It doesn't mean we don't have differences, but somehow, when actually people that don't know my kids see my kids, they say, I know they're part of the same family. That's unity. That's the unity that God is looking for. Not conformity, not doing the same thing in the same way, not understanding why, but something that says you're different, but you're the same. That's a mystery. That's a mystery. We're a covenant people when we belong to a family. Covenant's a big word. But basically, you agree to do something and then you lay down what you rightly should get to help the other person meet their needs. We are not here because we agree about everything. We are not about gathering together because we agree on every single thing. Otherwise, when we disagree, we split. If we split when we disagree, then I have to make sure we never disagree. It's not unity. It's not family. Who knows family that always agree on everything? It doesn't work that way. To disagree, we need to have a conversation. And within that, we need to have a thought. And if I disagree, I must have had an idea. So, if we come together when we agree and separate when we disagree, my job is to make sure you don't have a thought. Because if your thought's different to mine, you'll go. That's not family. That's not family. Actually, our differences are what bring us together. Yes, there are some fundamentals. We're followers of Jesus. We believe he's the Son of God. He's the only way to Father. And that actually we need to be born again. Those are fundamentals. Those are fundamentals. We need those. But what color that wall is, the chairs are, how we take communion, how much you give. I mean, Paul in Romans 14 talks about this. Just don't worry about some of those debatable things. And if my preaching, therefore, is to keep us together, then I preach to convince and not to inspire. But I want to inspire you because you have inspired thinking. That's part of the creativity that's within Sally Hall Christian Fellowship. Paul picks this up, different people, one body. He says in 1 Corinthians 12:12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts from one body, so it is with Christ. We're different. We're different shapes, we're different sizes. I shout, you don't. We're different. And we celebrate that within the boundary of our love for Christ. Here's a mystery. You are one body, but different, but totally knitted together. Here at SCF, we call it family. There's my brother. There's my sister. There's my mum. There's my dad. Who knows, in the family, everyone's got a weird uncle or a weird aunt. You just have. You're now all thinking, yeah? Now, my nieces and nephews don't know me that well, so they just think I'm cool. Actually, no, they've seen my Facebook page. They probably think I'm not cool. You don't get to choose your family. You don't get to choose your family. We choose friends. And family goes deeper. So this unity goes deeper than friends. So what does it look like for 200 people? I don't know. I don't know what it looks like, but should we find out together? I don't know what that unity looks like for 200 people. Gosh, actually, I think I'm going to finish early. What are we going to do? Finish early, me? You know, John 17, verse 20, this is Jesus praying. I don't pray for these alone, but also those are his disciples. I don't pray for my disciples alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now, I've always known that John 17 is about unity. Yeah? Me in you, you in me, God in us all. I get it. I understand it. But you see what Jesus is saying here? I'm okay with being one with Christ. I'm okay with being one with Christ. And I'm okay with being just as... Hold on. Stop it, Ben. Back up. I'm okay with being one with Christ with those I know. Do you see that? Hold on. I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through the word, that all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me, just as we are one. Christ wants us to be one with one another, just as God the Father is one with Jesus. Actually, I don't know if I believe that. That's huge. That's absolutely huge. I'm okay with being in unity with those people I know well. Andrea, Richard, Craig. I kind of get that. But you see what Jesus is saying here? His heart is that we be one with each other, just as Father God is one with Jesus. Father God is one with Jesus. I'm going to pick on someone. I'm going this way. I'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
Lovely. Mike. Hello, man. Mike, come stand up. I know I can. I'm looking for someone. Who am I going to look for? Right. Mike is new. Yeah? And I'm going to pick on my father-in-law. Yes? Do you know? Oh, no, you probably do. It doesn't work. You know Mike. Don't you? That doesn't work. Dad, this is Roger.
Somebody that doesn't know me.
Who doesn't know Mike? Andrew. Come here, Andrew. So. Now, I'm okay with me being in unity with you because I know you. Yeah. And I'm okay being in unity with you as Christ because I know you. But do you know what God is saying here? He's saying that you, Mike, should be one with Andrew, yeah, just as God is one with Jesus.
Yeah. Bless you, friend.
Bless you too.
Excellent. Thank you very much. What does that look like? I don't know. And I was looking for somebody else, you see, who I saw this morning. But this is the unity. Christ is saying we should be one with one another, just as Jesus is one with God. Now, does that mean that Andrew and Mike are going to have a meal together and come into their home? I don't know. If I've got to do that, then that's an awful lot of meals. And I don't know if I can sustain it. I'm not that good a cook. So it probably doesn't look like that. But should we figure it out together? And look what it says. Oh, I kind of got lost a bit here. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So this level of unity, not just for those people I know, for those people I don't know who are brothers and sisters. Let's just deal with this church. I can't cope with the kingdom. I don't know how I'm going to do that, so let's just deal with this church. That when we're in the right level of unity with one another, it causes people that the world may believe that you sent me. How does that happen? I don't know. Maybe we're not supposed to know, but it's incredible. It reminds me of Matthew 5 when it talks about how our work, our labor, and the way we labor out in the marketplace will cause people to say, you're a follower of Jesus. And will cause them to glorify God. How working well in the marketplace will cause people to glorify God, I don't know. But it says it in the Bible. He said it, so it is. I don't have to make that happen. But do you see being off of works onto unity? Do you see the level of unity? We got to go deeper in that. Do you know why? Because God specifically says, he said on March the 12th, 3 years ago, what's that? That'd be 2014, might be 13, might even be 12. How old are we now? In our 40th celebration, by two witnesses, God is calling you to a focus of family. That's a deep level of relationship with one another. So there's a level of unity that we've got to have. And actually, maybe part of today is going to be drawing a line under stuff. Kev, I just feel it's kind of right now. Is that okay if you just come and share what God is on your heart? I've not talked about the specifics of what we're going to do. But Kevin, as they were talking about in home group, yeah, these 5 points of making this commitment and what we were going to do on Together Sunday in that declaration, I really felt God spoke to him. So, and I feel it's the right time for him just to share it now. I don't know.
Thanks for the opportunity to share. Ben, your father-in-law gave me a word last week. That right, Roger? He said, whatever God says, do it. Right, so I'm going with that this morning, just trust me, okay. I was really excited, really, when Julie came back and shared what the elders wanted us to do, was to recommit as a body to go forward all together. And I was reminded of a few things, really. One is that when we're running towards a prize, you know, we keep our eyes focused on the prize, who is Jesus. But there's a lot of people in the race. It's running towards the prize, but there's some people who are in the race who are wounded. Mm. Really wounded, not just when I say wounded, I don't mean physically injuries. I mean things in the past, and I thought it'd be good. I think it's fantastic that we can move forward together. But I felt that as part of moving forward together, for us to go forward as one, and in one body, going forward all together, I felt what a wonderful opportunity for us to come together as a body of Christ and repent before him. And I include myself totally in that, because I feel that as God's called us all to be a part of his body, we're all different parts. I don't want the baggage in my life affecting us going forward. And if we're all honest, we do carry baggage, and that baggage can be, it can be unforgiveness from the past, things that we've carried in our heart that we thought that we've laid down, but actually we haven't. We might have said to, you know, I forgive them, but really we don't forget what's happened. We're carrying it, and that's baggage, and that's not going to help us go forward. When I think about when you're reading the book in Nehemiah, that he was an amazing man of God, that he rebuilt the walls, and some of these walls that were broken and in ruins were 12 feet wide. And God, he sought God for what God wanted to do, and he spent times going round and round seeking what God wanted him to do. And God gave him a plan, a strategy, and he kept to it. He wouldn't be taken away from it. But what was more important was not just the building and the infrastructure. You know, it was important to protect the people. But Nehemiah knew that the people had turned away, and he called them to recommit, like we're going to recommit as a body going forward. But they had a time of repentance before him, each family. And I felt like the scripture that my wife and I had, really, and we've had for a while, if my people who are called by my name, and, you know, we're all Christians, we all say we're Christians, so he's talking to each and every one of us here. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, we sing about being on fire, heal our nation. Jordan shared in midweek that he was sharing in America, and one young man that he'd been talking to and sharing the gospel was shot just a few days later. And we can be shocked at that, but the young people in our church will tell you, I really thank God for our young people, but you know, they've chose life, and that's wonderful, isn't it? But you know, there's so many young people out there that are going the wrong way. Perhaps not being shot every minute, but drugs is so common. Things are going on in our nation. I just thought that as a body, you know, we can change that. To go forward, we can change that. And it's about being in unity. But I thought that how wonderful if we can come together now this morning and humble ourselves before God. It could be things in the past. It could be things that you're not completely forgiven. It could be things in your marriage. It could be anything, really. I mean, marriage is a great example. If there's something between you and your marriage, you know, you've been hurt by your wife. You've been there, Ben. I've been there. And you say, oh, sorry about that. And you walk away. But you're not, you know, you've said sorry, but your wife knows you don't really mean it. You're not that sorry, Ben. So it's still between you. You've been there. So, like, we get to a place where it's between us. You know, we can't go on. So I actually would have to come to my wife and say, Karen, I really am really sorry. I hurt you. She knows it. And I feel God's calling us to seek him. And he's going to reveal in our hearts what it is, these blockages. And I just thought, let's come together now, putting the cross at the centre, Jesus at the centre, and saying, we're recommitting to you, but let's get right with him before him. Let's humble ourselves.
Amen.
Let's bow our knees.
Amen. So I tell you what, let's just take a moment. Yeah. As part of recommitting, it's like drawing a line. And I heard this for the first time. Yeah, so I didn't know where Kevin was going to take it. But I just feel it's right. We're just going to take a moment. Yeah. And maybe it's part of what we do later, this preparation in the heart now. Maybe there's things in the past. Maybe there's just things that have not got anything to do with SCF. Or maybe it has been, but actually we're drawing a line.
You know, I had things in my heart that I thought they were dealt with and they're not. And I need to bring them forward and say, you know, I take responsibility. I was wrong, or I've held this attitude. And, you know, it could be your sons, it could be your daughter's been hurt in the past and you carry things, you don't realise it. It could be relationships within or something in your own family that you just carry and you can't seem to get rid of it. You think you're forgiven, but you haven't actually. And God's going to remind you that he wants it sorted now, because when we go forward together, he doesn't want people carrying this back. He wants to take it. He wants to take it on this cross this morning.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And I have been asked to sing in front of you, and I don't really want to do it. But if God says humble ourselves. And I thought that, you know, when I sing this short song, that God's going to remind you. You know, we're all going to bend the knee one day before God, everybody. But I just feel this morning, let's bow the knee before him. Just confess openly. You know, examine our hearts, and he'll reveal it. He knows if we're seeking his face at that moment, and then we can go forward in unity as a body, forgiving each other and looking forward to going together in unity. So I'll just sing this. Just close your eyes if you would. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. And let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Bless you, Lord. Let's just take a moment. Let's just be silent. So Heavenly Father, just search our hearts, Lord. Search our hearts, Lord. Father God, let us bring to remembrance things that we need to lay down. Father, in your precious name. Amen.
Just as we have an open time of worship, I just feel that let's have an open time of repentance. Just kneel down before him, or just bow down and in your own way, just get right with God as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just give the Lord a bit of room and space. Jesus. Jesus, Father, as you continue to work, Lord God, Father, as you continue to work in our hearts, Lord, would you keep us soft? Lord, would you keep us malleable, Father God? Lord Jesus, there's some serious work to be done. Lord, it's right that we talk about love and family, Father, but there's some serious work to be done. Lord Jesus, we want to be your ambassadors here on this earth, Lord. We want people to enjoy the lives that we have in you. Father, we want to see your kingdom grown, Lord. We want to see young lives, old lives, and in between, Father God, turn away from a path of destruction. Lord Jesus, Father, come away from that broad path and on to that path that leads to you. And Lord God, if we're not in that place of unity and heart, Lord Jesus, then it'll never be as effective as we know it can be. So Father, continue to work in us and through us. Lord Jesus, give us wisdom when things just need to be settled in our hearts, Lord. Give us wisdom, Father God, when we need to go up and speak to people, Lord, that we may be anew. Father God, perhaps some of us, Lord, you need to give us a new heart almost again. Lord Jesus, as for whatever reason there are scars and wounds deep down, or where you've let bitterness, or where bitterness has been let in, Lord. Father God, maybe you need to give us clean hands, Lord Jesus, that we can walk aright in you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We wouldn't be family if everything went according to plan. And just continue to let the Lord work in your life. Because it's sometimes a process. But I believe what Kevin felt on his heart was really important. Yeah, we mustn't carry stuff. It gives room for the energy, for the enemy to move in. It gives him space. It gives him power that he doesn't have any. So maybe part of this morning, God will continue to work on your hearts. Jesus. We are going to move on, but without letting God's Holy Spirit continue to work. When we talked about being in unity together, it's got to mean something. So we gave 5 points. Points? What's that about? How does that work? What do they mean? There's authority. There's all these words here. The authority of Jesus Christ within our lives, and the ultimate authority of the Bible is the Word of God. These are the things this morning that we want to say yes to within our unity, within our heart, moving on. What does that mean? Well, I want to be a leader in a church where Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Not only in our church, but also in our lives. And that we would commit together to working out God's word. There are some things in God's word that doesn't make sense to me. There are things in God's word that are difficult to understand, but together we work it through because it's God's word. And actually, however the Bible we have today came together, I cannot believe that God didn't have his hand in it. When I read the miracles that God did, when I believe the miracles that God did, I believe that God had his hand in bringing his word into being. So part of saying yes to that this morning is, let's work out the word of God in our lives together. Let's work it out. Let's grapple with it. Let it become alive and real and true in our lives. committing to grow together a disciple of Jesus within the body here at SCF, that we would be a church that wants to grow as disciples of Jesus, growing together, working out those stumbling blocks in our lives, those things. We had a call to be straightened out, that people would come to be straightened out. Do you know, we've got stumbling blocks coming in, children. Perfect timing. We've got those stumbling blocks in our lives that we need to be set free of. Being under the spiritual authority and guidance of those who are charged by God with shepherding the flock here at SCF. Gosh, what's that about? Well, I can tell you what we as elders want. We want to lead a church working out the servant-hearted nature of leadership and seeing that servant heart cascade down into every form of leadership, into everyone that has responsibility. Do you know who's got responsibility? We all do. So as we model that servant-hearted leadership, that cascades down throughout the whole family. Prayerfully, intentionally working out SCF's vision and values in our lives, making it real. Read the letters to the churches of Revelation, and we always think what they didn't do well and what they did do well. But Jesus talked to them in their context and said, you're this and you're that. One church hated the Nicolaitans, another church didn't. They had different callings, different purposes. God's given us our purpose here, that we would work together at seeing it real in our lives. And at last, really, it touches on the beginning of what Kevin taught. Loving one another within SCF church family and living out Jesus' command in John 13:34-35. Then to extending that love of Christ to all those we meet. I've heard us when we talk like this years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, say, well, it's all fluffy. Please forgive me when I say, don't you dare call that fluffy. Working out that kind of depth and relationship isn't fluffy. It's deep, it's real, it's sacrificial, it's letting go, it's forgiving when you feel you've got a right to be upset, it's not saying something when you thought you could, it's going out of your way to help, to love and support. It's far deeper than I think we realise. What are we saying yes to? We're saying yes to saying, what does that look like? Let's work that out together. Let's work that out together, what that looks like. Come on in, children. Find mum and dad. Come on in. We're just closing. So this morning, we're going to put a leaf on a tree. Do you like the tree? Lay. Is Lay here? Lay here. I don't know if she's going to be here, but she spent a week or more. She even pulled her back. Yeah, we have to put it in the accident book. Painting that tree. And so this morning we're going to hang a leaf on a tree. And we want everyone, the reason why we've asked the children to come back in is because actually this is for everyone. Guys, if you want to come and find yourself a seat, please do, because we'll be here. And so actually we're going to start now. I mean, you wouldn't believe the angst over leaves. You want to know what I do? I angst over the size of leaves. We had some beautiful wooden leaves turned up. They were like this big. Yeah, there was no context in the picture. So Rachel Holland, bless her, has lovingly cut out 144 leaves. My wife cut out a further 25. And if you get the really jagged ones, but why put my name on a leaf? See, I can have all that unity that you talked about, Ben. I'd have to put my name on a leaf. And I thought about this because I've sat in those seats, and this is what I would have thought. Well, why not do I have to put my name on a silly leaf? It's not even a leaf. It's a piece of cardboard. I can have all of that regardless of what I do. And I guess you're right. But we miss the power in the Bible of the symbolism of God. Why walk round the walls of Jericho 7 times? Who knew? Who knew? The symbolism of doing that brought down walls. Did you realize that when the curtain separating the Holy of Holies from the public torn in twain, that was symbolizing God's complete access that we now have to the Father? And if we're not careful, we just lose the power of the symbolic nature of what we do. Lastly, I think God honors what we say. I think God honors. I tried to think of another way of saying it, but we felt this was a right and good thing to do, and God says, I'll honor that. So you may think, I don't have to put my name on a silly leaf to have all that unity that Ben said. I don't know, I think perhaps you do. Because we're talking about something deeper here. It's far deeper than a name on a leaf. But it's the beginning. So at 3 o'clock this morning, I woke up panicking. Pens! What about pens? What am I going to do with pens? I should have known Mandy would have had loads. So let's just give a bit of context now, and then I'm going to call the other elders out, and we're going to pray as a family over each of the areas. So what if you knew and you're hearing this for the first time? Don't worry. If you just want to symbolically put your name on a leaf, that's fine. There are 163 hooks on there. Do you know how I know? You can find a hook. Maybe put your phone number on her back and we'll contact you. Maybe you've been here a couple of months, but you've not been through joining the church. Well, what do I do? Well, put your name on, put your number on, and we'll work it through. It's a signal. Maybe you're not ready yet. You want some time and space to think it through. Do you know what? That's so important. Do you know what I've enjoyed hearing this week? People listening and talking about these and saying, this is important. You may need some more space and time before you put your name on the leaf. That'll be up for a couple of months. There's no rush. It's not a one-time thing. Yeah, just let it pass you by. What if it's my children? Yeah? Can you grab a leaf and a pen? Grab one pen. Oh, how's this going to work? There you go. And children, start to put your name down. So I'm just going to pass these round and just take a leaf and a pen and just start to put your first name and your second name. Can we have both names, please? On the leaf. And if you want to pass it by, that's absolutely fine. I wasn't really sure how this bit was going to go. Oh, you didn't do that very well. It's part of being family. Oh, hold on. No, don't take those. Don't take my pens. So just start to pass that round. I really want to make sure everyone has a leaf. Yeah? So if there are some babies or some really young toddlers, I've got some smaller leaves. Please don't think anything of it being a smaller leaf. I forgot to change the setting from A4 to A3. That's the only reason they're smaller. There's nothing prophetic. Yeah, I want to make sure everybody has a leaf who wants one. So there's some tiny ones here if you've got some tiny babies. Children, just don't go up quite yet. Sorry, we're just going to start to do it. Yes, you can, it'll come round. Don't you just love it? Someone says, oh, this all went to chaos. This is family. Heather, just give me a second, is that okay? So if you can go back and find your mum and dad or the parent who bought you. I'll do a review tomorrow and I'll go, I could have done it slightly differently. But is this okay? Is this part of being family? And again, if you're not ready, then just let the box pass you by. If you're here for the first time, you're thinking, oh, I don't know what this is about, that's fine. We don't want to embarrass you this morning. Can you put your first name and your last name? And that's it. The noise has just calmed down a little bit. So I'm going to ask the other elders just to come out. We will wait a minute, but just come out and join me so I don't look like I'm here all by myself. David, are you there? Okay, children, if you can sit down. Don't worry if you've put your leaf on a hook, but if you can just hold. I love enthusiastic people. I love enthusiastic people. So just hold. And the leaves and the pens have been passed around. Okay, if I can just ask you to sit. Brilliant. So I want to go at the top. Okay, if I can get you to sit down, that'd be marvellous. Just let these things pass you by. Note to self, pray first, send leaves round afterwards. Okay. Each of us as elders, I'm going to do 2 points. We're just going to pray over each of these points. And we'll read it out first of all. Don't worry, I've got a microphone. They'll just turn me up. You good? We'll start a prayer now.
Yes.
Right, so the point I will pray over is the authority of Jesus Christ within our lives and the ultimate authority of the Bible as his word. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we hold your word up. Sorry. We hold your word up. Father God, Lord Jesus, it gives us our indication. It allows us to know your heart, Father. Lord Jesus, it knows your history. Father God, what you have said and what you are saying, it allows us to connect with you. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would read the whole word. Father, I come against cherry picking, Lord, in our preaching, in our reading, Lord. And I pray that we would let this word, your word, read us as we read it. And Father, that we would be changed by it, molded by it, shaped by it. That we would work out those scriptures that are hard to understand. That we would embrace those that are easy to. And Father, that we would be people of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Committing to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ within the body here at SCF. Yesterday, I heard a phrase which was that, like flowers, we're not always where we want to be, but we're where God has put us. So like flowers, we are where God has put us. And it's our choice whether we choose to bloom or not. And my prayer is that for every single one of us, wherever God puts us, we will choose to bloom for him. That we will choose to radiate the love of Christ. We will choose to radiate the beauty of Jesus Christ through our lives. And day by day, we will seek to grow more and more like Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And that every single one of us, wherever we are on our journey with Jesus, we will grow day by day and we'll take personal responsibility for that growth. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak into us every single day. Lord, thank you for that relationship with you. Lord, may we tend that relationship day by day, that it would grow stronger, that we might grow more like you day by day, that we might radiate you into our lives wherever you put us, in every single relationship you put us into, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Can I go off piste slightly?
Everybody else has.
David's going to pray into the next one, which is about the elders and spiritual authority. I've had a number of people come up to me and ask me about this particular point. And Many people I know within the body here have been within groups of Christians where authority has been abused by the leadership. And people have suffered because of what became known as heavy shepherding. Hear Ben's heart when he said earlier on, this is about servant leadership. This is about us as elders serving the body. And it's about spiritual authority. That's why it's been phrased in this word, in this way. It's about spiritual authority, not authority. Mm-hmm. So hear our hearts. That's what this is about. Is that okay? Thank you.
It is my turn, yeah, okay. Jesus really spoke to me last night and early this morning about this whole matter. And what he said to me was that he wants everybody here, that's including the children. I could see a young man at the moment who needs to turn round, thank you, and go back to sit with your parents, or if your parents, thank you. Every person, okay, I'm picking on Elijah because he's right in front of me, but every person, every child, Jesus wants to give you authority. I want you to say that out loud. Jesus gives me authority. Would you say that?
Jesus gives me authority.
And this man will tell you where you get the authority.
Where we get the authority from, we get our authority through our relationship with Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah, right? And in that sense, this is what's going to happen after we've all prayed. I'm going to pray a blessing on you, okay? And the blessing is what we had in the very first scripture that Ben opened up to us. That was the scripture about how lovely, how pleasant it is when people dwell together in unity. And it then says, when you do that, you receive an anointing. And the anointing of God gives you authority to change situations in your life, in your work, in your neighborhood. I'll pray a blessing that so that might happen as we finish. But Lord, I want to pray into this particular situation that we, by your Holy Spirit, will have real guidance day by day in caring for this group as a flock of people who want to be under your care. And I ask in Jesus' name that you will help us take up the authority that you want to give us, that we might be able to change situations. So I pray into being an anointing on this flock, and alongside that anointing, the authority to care for people and to help change their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Prayerfully and intentionally working out SCF's vision and values in our daily lives. Heavenly Father, that we would seek to grow together, moving forward in the things that you have called this family and this fellowship to do. Amen.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. For forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So, Father, we pray that you would give us your Holy Spirit's power to love one another as you have loved us. And by that, the world will know that we belong to you. Father, help us to work that out in our daily living, in our relationships. Mm. Help us to keep accounts short. Help us to give patience and love in abundance. And Father, help us to love in a real, living way those around us, those in our church family and those in our community that you've brought us into contact with. Help us to rely on your grace in every situation. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I bless this body of believers. I bless you with a fresh insight into the authority of the Saviour Jesus. I bless you so that you will be able to receive an anointing, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, but a baptism of love for one another. In addition to that love for one another, a baptism of love for the lost, to love sinners, to love the lonely, to love the bruised and the confused. May you, in Jesus' name, receive special abilities and authority that will bring change in this place, in this district, even in this nation. Lord, will you come and melt hard hearts in this place as we show love? May we have that ability. May we have that blessing of being able to melt hardness so that the love of Christ can change lives. Pray it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So, band, would you come back up on stage? We're going to worship together.